Okay, we've been discussing the sugya of the greatness of the Rishonim, Emunas Chachamim, and the truth is I got a tremendous chizuk this week from the Olam, how the Olam took in the Shmuz. I saw major things going on, which we'll discuss in a second, how the Olam changed their whole histaklus, their whole appreciation for the godless of Rashi and the Rishonim, and it affected the learning. It affected the learning. Mamish, right after the Shmuz that night, there were two Chashuvim who were working out a sugya and had a big shverkeit in the sugya, and they said, "Well, let's go through again with Rashi. With Rashi, after all the stories about Rashi, let's try it again." And they came to a chiddush that they quickly called the Rosh Yeshiva on his way to the airport, and the Rosh Yeshiva said it was Lamito Shel Torah. And that's exactly why we're discussing this sugya, because the pshat is that that when you know the Rishonim are great, it changes the whole mahalach in learning. Another bachur, one of the chashuvim, came over to me with a major question on the Shmuz, that Rashi shver in a certain place, and Biyad Hashem Mamish, Siyata Dishmaya, in that Rashi Gufa, I had a Kabbalah from Gedolei Olam, how to understand that Rashi, and with two other Rayas and Shas, how Rashi uses this Lashon, and the whole Kasha fell away. So it could be, yeah, we'll have a major question on a Rashi, but if you have a Munas Chacham, you know the greatness of Rashi, you know your questions have answers. It's just a matter of when you're going to get them. And there was a Bacher today in the mirror who was at the Shmuz. He said he went through the Ritva, didn't understand it, went back into the Ritva because you know it's the Ritva. And this is the ABCs of learning, and we've never done this. We've never learned with such an intensity of really feeling like what's in front of us is something that's so great that if we sit there like we're doing an open heart surgery, we're going to get answers to everything because of the greatness of these people. The Vilna Gaon says this Yisayid in the beginning of Mishlei. The Gaon says a very strange thing, right? Normally the author of a book, it doesn't appear in the book itself, right? It's not the best editing job to like start the book with the name of the person who wrote it. And nevertheless, Mishlei, the Mishlei Shlomo HaMelech starts off not just like on the first page, like before you start the book, it says this was written by Shlomo HaMelech. But it says the first pasuk is Mishlei Shlomo ben David. Why is that part of the sefer? You know, we know which svarim, we know which svarim are written by who. We have a Kabbalah from Chazal. We'll open up, we'll see Ramazim who it was written by. But why is the beginning of the sefer of Mishlei have to start with Mishlei Shlomo ben David? Part of the sefer is that this was written by Shlomo HaMelech. And the Gaon explains in his Perush on Mishlei that you cannot start the Sefer Mishlei without seeing Shlomo's name in the Sefer. Why? Because the way you're going to come to the Sefer, which is Kulo Chachma Elokis, it's the Chachma of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo was the wisest man that lived. He was given Chachma from the Eibishter to the highest possible human level. And if a person comes into that sefer, they need to first read in the sefer that what you were about to read is Shlomo HaMelech. Because otherwise, they might go, "Oh, a little funny over here, let's go to the next one. Strange over here, I would write something different." No, the Ershta Aleph is to know who wrote the sefer. And the Vilna Gaon says, in every sefer, a person must know who wrote it. Because you can't even know how seriously to read this. Is this something I read on the couch, like, you know, half asleep? Is this something I read after 20 coffees? What is this sefer that's in front of me? If we don't know the greatness of the people that we're reading about, then the way your mind even works when you're dealing with this is totally different. But when you know the chashivas, you know the greatness, you know that the Meiri says that chavilois, chavilois kushios, packages and packages of questions, Rashi is miyashev of the Rishonim, Rashi fixes without even letting you know that there was a question. He just sort of weaves it in, that if you read in a healthy way his perish very carefully, the questions just are removed. But you have to know who Rashi is, otherwise you just go, "What, I'm just reading," you read it like a newspaper. It's like nothing. So that's what we're doing. We're working on this Yisod. And the Chazal tell us in Yuma that Godol tzipornan shel rishonim, the fingernail of the earlier generations, is big, better than the kreitzon, the stomach of the achronim. What is this, Chazal? What does this mean? So I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what I think, b'siyata d'shmaya. That what does it mean, the fingernail of the rishonim? What is a fingernail? A fingernail, what it's made up of, is basically dead cells. It's the part of the body that's dead, that there's no nerve endings on the fingernails. And even the Ari HaKadosh says that that's why you cut your fingernails on Erev Shabbos, to remove all the dead chalakim of Klal Yisrael that have removed themselves. They're dead to the world. You're cutting them off from yourself. That's a tzipurin. Tzipurin's the lifeless matter. The tzipurin of Rishonim. The tzipurin of Rishonim is better than the kreisan, the stomach of the achronim. What's a stomach? The Torah is compared to lechem, to food, to basar, to yayin, to steak. The kreisan, the stomach, is what takes everything apart. It's the ability to destroy and to divide and conquer and send things to its proper place. It's the strongest part of the body to develop the things where everything's supposed to go. In learning, ke'ilu, the place of the kreisan, the stomach, is where everything happens. The lifeless part of the Rishonim, the part that was the lifeless matter, the tziporin of Rishonim, is better, is on such a higher caliber than the later generations of their ikker, their meat and potatoes, their what they were working and working and working, because it's a different ballgame entirely. The Chazon Ish says an incredible lashon. He says in Igris, he says, Anan Yasmi Diyasmi. Says, we're Yisomim of Yisomim. Ein lanu laharas divrei Rishonim. We would never disagree with the Rishonim. So you say, which Rishonim? You know, you want to know which one's big. Last week, Stark spoke about Rashi. Maybe we'll have a different opinion about this one. So he says, ubechal achas ilanu. It's all the same to me. Cholek ala Rambam, or Rashi, or the Rush, or the Tur. Why? Mali im Malach Michael Omro. What is the difference to me if Michael the Malach says it or Gavriel HaMalach? Do I know how to make a distinguish between Malachim? These people were all Malachim. So one's the Malach Gavriel, one's the Malach Michael. But it's all the same sugya. So now let's go a little bit further. Let's continue on our path. And this is changing our whole Mahalach in learning Bezrus Hashem, our whole way of coming to things. The godless of Achronim, the greatness of Achronim. What is the greatness of Achronim? The greatness of Achronim is as much as they can understand the Rishon. That is our greatness. The greatness of Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker wrote a skinny sefer in the back over there, which shook the Olam HaTorah. There's never been a sefer written like this in Klal Yisrael's history. And it's something that, you know, you have to read the Reb Chaim hundreds and hundreds of times to say you got it. You know, we're lazy. Maybe after three times we say we got it. But if a person really wants to understand it, he would have to read it hundreds and hundreds of times. What was Reb Chaim's greatness? You know what his greatness was? That he was able to understand a Rambam. His whole greatness came from his ability to touch the Rishonim. And that's our Derech HaLimud. And Reb Chaim says, Reb Moshe Shmuel Shapira Zatzal, said from Reb Chaim also, that was Reb Chaim's whole Derech HaLimud, was we want Vushtet. We want to understand what the Rishonim said. Because they were so great that if we could just understand what they said, not come up with our own ways of understanding things, but Pashut, try to understand what's in front of them, in front of us of them, that will be our greatness. And that's always been our greatness. Because it's written Beruach HaKodesh. What the Rishonim write, even though they use their brains, of course, they use their brains until the nth degree, until total Mesiras Nefesh, in a way, and their hearts, in a way that we can't understand. But their words were Ruach HaKodesh. What came out wasn't just Kishron, wasn't just intelligence. If it was, then you wouldn't have to take it so seriously. But because they used their Koichos to their fullest, to the nth degree, there was zocha that their seichel left and went to a higher madrega. And the Ramban says this in Baba Basra on Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara says, "Miyom shecharav beis hamikdash, afal pi shenitla nevuah." Even though prophecy was taken away from the Nevi'im, but mina chachamim lo nitla, prophecy was not taken away from chachamim. What does that mean, that prophecy wasn't taken away? right? We don't see people in robes in the streets preaching on outside. Well, we do see outside the Kaisel, but it's not exactly the people you would want to listen to. But what is this Chachma? Says the Ramban, Afal pi shenitla nevuas hanaviim, Shumar v'chazon, the visions of Yechezkel, Yeshayahu, and all the great Nevi'im, Nevuas Chachamim Shibederech HaChachma, Chazal, and the Rishonim, and anyone who has reached this level of Tara, when they Derech Chachma learn the Sugya and do it Ad Ein Sof, Yodim HaEmes Beruach HaKodesh Bidvarim, what comes out, the result, is that it was not from a regular human being. Now, it's hard for us to even know how to work this way. How does somebody work this way to the point where there's Zochet Ruach HaKodesh? We don't have really a dmus for this, but if you want to know a dmus that wasn't living so long ago, and there are many people who are alive today who knew this man, the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was a dmus for us, just like we mentioned last week, the Vilna Gaon was the dmus of a Rishon. The Chazon Ish was a dmus for us of how much a person could learn Torah with all of their body. I was by Rav Meir Grainman, who's a nephew of the Chazon Ish, a couple months ago. And he was a man who lived with the Chazon Ish, and I couldn't help myself. I said to him, what can you tell me about the Chazon Ish? And there are all sorts of stories about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish told people how to do brain surgeries, and the surgeons didn't understand what's going on here. He knew everything. The Chazon Ish was a man who, literally, the Shechina was medaberes mitel grono. But he said to me, he goes, all the stories of the Chazon Ish are true. He goes, but do you want to know who my uncle was, the Chazon Ish? He says, my uncle learnt until he almost died. He says, Pashut Pshuto K'mashmo, he would learn until ambulances would come and have to take him away. And it's true. And he doesn't need my askama. But a lot of times they would find the Chazon Ish had tipped over. They just put him back up again. And he just continued. He Pashut had no Metzias of Gashmias to him. Now when you take such an idea and you put it in the Duras HaRishonim, What happened to them was they maxed out in Olam Hazeh. They had used their brains to the extent where they were totally done. And Hashem then took over, and then whatever came out was the godless of the Rishonim that we're learning. Mamish Ruach HaKodesh Bidivrehem. Ad Kidei Kach, that at the Chasima of the Rishonim, already, still, the Ramah and the Beis Yosef, like we explained last week, the end of the Tkufa of the Rishonim was the making of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah in Poland writing the Mapa on the Shulchan Aruch. The Tumim says the following thing. The Tumim is Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, who was the Gadol Hadar at the time, a couple hundred years after. He says that I find, if you look in a Shulchan Aruch, okay, you'll get a headache. There's this little Shulchan Aruch over here, right, and a Ramah, and then there are these long shachs, and long tazes, and long nesivises, and long soses, like, whoa, and everybody's discussing these little Shulchan Aruchs. Why? Because there are a lot of problems in these Shulchan Aruchs. And then what happens is the shach goes, and after three pages, and if you could follow one of these shachs in your lifetime, you were already considered an Adam Gadol. If you could follow the train of thought, finally goes, and that's the pshat in the Ramah, and that's how I solved the sugya. Wow, that made the shach famous, but everybody wants to know, come on, give me a break, Rabbi. Did the Ramah really have all that in mind when he wrote it? I mean, all the shachs, all the nesivises, all the ksaises. Did the Beis Yosef really have that in mind? So I would say yes. I would say yes, because that's what I would think. But the Tumim doesn't say that. He says it's impossible for a human being to have every shach, every ksais, every nesivis in that person during Olam Hazeh. He says the only answer is the Ramah wrote the Ramah. And he wrote it in his greatness. And his words were so incredibly great that they were packed in there was all of the shtiklich Torah that were beyond him, that he never even would know about. He didn't even need to know about it. Because Ruach HaKodesh was bidivrehem. The Ramah, when he wrote his parish at the end of the day, wrote it in such a way that it was beyond his capabilities. Totally beyond. And even more so in the Rambam. The Rambam. What if you say a pshat in a Rambam that's not like the Rambam? That's interesting. How do you do that? Right? Let's say you find in a tshuva sefer that the Rambam doesn't hold like you, and you have a beautiful shtickle Torah. It works with every Rambam. All the steers in the Rambam, your miyashiv, the only one problem. That he wrote to some rav in Baghdad that he doesn't hold of that shtickle. So I would say, buddy, try again. There's only one problem. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, as quoted by Rav Shlomo HaKoyin from Vilna in a Michtov to Rav Chaim Berlin, says absolutely not. The Rambam is not the Bailim on the Rambam. If you say a pshat in the Rambam and it works in every place in Mishneh Torah, which is the Rambam's magnum opus, it's over there on the shelf from wall to wall, and it works with every single thing, it's emes la'amito, because the Rambam is not the Bailam on the Rambam, because the Dvarim were nemru beruach HaKodesh. Simply put, the Rambam was greater than the Rambam himself. The Rambam put in, but at the end of the day, the Sefer lives in its own. And I wanted to say that perhaps there's a reason, you know, it says the Gaon, they asked the Vilna Gaon, where's the Makar for the Rambam in the Torah? Interesting question. Where's the Makar for the Rambam in the Torah? And says the Gaon in Shmois, Yud Aleph, Tes, it says, Rabois Moisai Be'eretz Mitzrayim. There will be incredible wonders in Mitzrayim. Rabos Moisai Be'eretz Mitzrayim is Roshei Tevois, Resh, Mem, Beis, Mem, Rambam. This is very nice. The Rambam, the wonders of the world will come out of Mitzrayim, where he lived. Beautiful. Why do you need to put the Resh in there? You know, just write Moshe ben Maimon. That's what I would do. Why does it have to be Rambam? Yeah, Hashem has to put the Rav category. But care, the Vilna Gaon, when the Vilna Gaon has a remez for his name, it's Eliyahu Evan Shlema. Eliyahu Aleph Ben Evan Shlomo. Evan Shlema. That's where it doesn't get the Rav Hagon Revel. You know what the pshat I think it is? Why is the Torah Meramis to the Rambam Rabos Mofsai Beretz Mitzrayim Rabbeinu Moshe Ben Maimon? It's not even going on the Rambam as a person. It's going on the Sefer. There will be a tremendous wonder that comes out of Mitzrayim, which is the Sefer Mishneh Torah. And all of Brisk, which is working on Karchim, would be out of a job if it wasn't for the Rambam. All of the Soloveitchiks would be out of a job. Half of the exciting shtiklach in Shas would be out of a job. The greatest achievement of a human being, the Rambam, was this incredible Mishneh Torah. What's the greatness of the... I can't help myself. What's the greatness of the Rambam? What's the greatness of writing the Mishneh Torah? Do you know what it is? The Meiri writes... He describes the Rambam. The Meiri has nicknames, kaviyachol, for the Rishonim. He calls the Rambam Godol HaMechabrim, the greatest of authors. Now, the problem with modern Hebrew is we know that the word Mechabrim means author. A chibur is a book. But that's not what it means. Mechaber is, he says he's the Godol of writers. Why? Because a word chibur, the greatness of a chibur, of something that's put together, is the greatness of how everything fits. Not just what you write, but where you write it. It's placement. You put this over here and this over there. The Rambam organized Kol HaTorah Kula. From every Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Sifra, Sifri, Mechilta, Ad Ein Shir. He put it all together in one thing. And now, not only can you be medayik from what he writes, like, you can open up a Chidushei Ramban, it's on a Masechta. But you can't be medayik in the Ramban why he puts it somewhere. In the Rambam, you can be medayik in placement of things. There are many shtickle Torahs that don't even care what the Rambam said. It's why did he put this in Hilchas Talmud Torah? Shouldn't this be in Hilchas Yisurei Bia? Why did he put this in Hilchas Brachas? Shouldn't it be in Hilchas Tefillah? And even before the Rambam even tells you what he means, simply by his placement of something, his chibur, his connection. Why did he put this halacha before this one? Why did he put this one three times before? Why did he put this at the beginning of a parak? Why did he put this at the end of a parak? Who in their right minds could think that a person could write a sefer like that? The answer is a person cannot write a sefer like that. It's way beyond our comprehension. And the Rambam did it. And the Rambam didn't have a Masorah in Zayir. He didn't get the Kabbalah of the Rashbi, of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And nevertheless, we find in the Nefesh HaChaim and in the Baal HaTanya that many times when the Rambam's writing his deepest esoteric things, it says, Meirov Dushaso, from the great Kedusha of the Rambam, he was mechaving to the secrets of the Torah on his own, simply from his Etzem Metzias. The Nefesh HaChaim brings the Rambam, after bringing the Arizal, he says, and the Rambam says it too, no one knows how. He didn't even have the wherewithal. He did, he was dovuk to the Ribbono Shel, and his Sefer stims with everything. It has to, because it was written, Beruach HaKodesh. And the Rambam himself had greater Rabbeim. We think that they say that the Rebbe of the Rambam was the Rimi Gash. The Rambam never learnt under the Rimi Gash, but the Rambam calls him his Rebbe. And the Chida in Chidrei Batan in Parshas Vayechi explains, you know why the Rambam calls the Rimi Gash his Rebbe? Really, Rav Maimon, the father of the Rambam, was the Talmud of the Rimi Gash. The reason he calls him his Rebbe, says the Chida, is because he was Zoche at 8 years old, the Rambam, to kiss the hand of the Rimi Gash. And he said, from that kiss, and from the bracha that the Rimi Gash gave him, he gave him over a koach ha-chachma that was lamala from Teva and Oshi. It was simply lamala min ha-teva. So he calls him his Rebbe because of a kiss. He was Zoche to kiss the hand of the Rimi Gash. How many of us have even read a Rimi Gash? Whoa, the Rambam on the shelf. There, you can learn Rimi Gashes. You can come to me afterwards where to find them. But Lamaisa, we don't even know. And that the godless of the Rambam was from a kiss on the hand of the generation before. This is the godless of the Rishonim. And these are the people that we're Zocha to learn from. And the greatness of us is how much we tap into this. And now I'd like to discuss, B'siyata D'shmaya, the dynamic of being able to speak with the Rishonim and have a connection with them. When you learn in a Beis Medrash, there's a concept that's brought in the Gemara, in Yevamos and Tzadi Zayin, Svasov Doivavois Bekever. When you learn any mimer, you learn a Rashi, Rashi's mouth. The Marsha deals with the fact that bones decay. He says it's not a kasha, it's a spiritual mouth. He says that the mouth of the one you're quoting from is learning with you. You're actually making him alive again. Svasov Doivavois Bekever, his lips are going. And when we learn a Rashi, you know who cares about what we're doing? Rashi. Not just the Rabbono Shalom, but in the Beis Medrash Shalmala, Rashi sees us working on things. Ad Kedei Kach, that I will show you, the Magine Shlomo, the grandfather of the Pnei Yoshua, says something that you can see in print if you don't believe me. The Magine Shlomo wrote a sefer. You know what it's called? The Shield of Shlomo, Magine Shlomo. You know why? Because he defended Rashi against the Bali Tosfos. Anytime the Tosfos asks Akasha on Rashi and leaves the Olam stumped, the Magine Shlomo, the grandfather of the Bnei Yeshua, dedicated his life to answering up Rashi so Rashi would have what to say. Fine, very nice. I'm sure he got a lot of Skar and Shemayim. But you know what else he got? He got a great relationship with Rashi. It says over here, Bechein Shamu, the Magine Shlomo told me that in his life, Rashi came to him, he showed his face, and he was besimcha gedola. And he said to him the following thing, haba, fortunate are you, Magine Shlomo. What you did, bishvil shata matziloti, you saved me. Saved me? Save me. What, you save me? Yes, save me. The lions. The lions? The Harifim, the Bali Tosis. The Bali Tosis were coming to get me. We usually don't think of the Bali Tosis like that. They're just asking a question. No, they're fierce lions. And Rashi was getting torn apart. And historically, everyone's reading the Rashi and they're like, I hear what Tosis is saying. And he says, now, because of you, because of your work, I'm placing you in Shamayim la'olam haba with kol talmidai, with all of my best talmidim. Now this is a very high place in Gan Eden, guys. Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri are grandchildren, just to get an idea of what's going on over here. And then what happened at the end of his life, again, Haya Eitzlo Gedola Yisrael in Krakow. Everyone was crowded around the Magine Shlomo. He was the Rav of the city. And he said, "Pnu makom." A half hour before he was nifter, Meir einenu agon Rashi. Rashi's coming to greet me. Boilai v'chol kedusha imo, and all of his talmidim, all of the kedushim with him. V'kibalnu besimcha laharis liderach chaim. He's paving the way where I should go in Gan Eden. This is something that's dynamic. We're involved in this process, even if we're not going to answer up everyone. But Rashi is involved. There's a yeshiva and yeshiva shalmal about this. And more, the marshal, who was living exactly at the time of the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, right at the end of the Rishonim, basically the beginning of the Achronim. The marshal, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, tells this story. In Minchas Toida, they bring it from the family. The Rav Chaim was very fond of this story, that the marshal hired somebody to give him Musar. Very interesting. I don't know if the guy was a bar hachi to give the marshal mussar, but he paid him money. He said, wherever you see me doing something wrong, you have to give me mussar. I don't care where. These were the old times. They weren't interested in covet. They were interested in bizyonos. They were interested in getting embarrassed more than getting covet. Fine. So the marshal had this guy. And then comes the marshal. He was working on a taisvis. And it was late at night. And right before it was time, he was pulled an all-nighter, which I'm sure he did all the time. But this time, he dozed off right before shachris. And he came late to shul. He came late to shul. So he's thinking he's going to get it big. You know, the marshal, maybe the marshal, but you know, this guy was paid, and he's going to come and lace into the marshal. That's it. And the marshal goes to shul. He starts davening. No mochiach, no tochach guy, no guy. He's standing over there on the far, nothing. Later in the day, nothing. So the marshal comes over to him with the taina later in the day. He says, what's going on over here? This is no-brainer. It's time for, you know, my tochacha. This is what I paid you for. And he said, the truth is, Rebbe, I was ready to do it. But today you've been surrounded by two men with long white beards wherever you go. And I can't get near you. The marshal smiled and he said, yeah, that was the Rian Rabbeinu Tam. He says, I spent the whole night working out their shitas in the taisus and they've been escorting me everywhere. That's what it means. It's really happening, Rabbi Isai. And sometimes our Achron can come and get upshot. There was a big simcha that Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, the Or Sameach, who didn't live that long ago. Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, he was once very besimcha. They asked him why. He said that he set up shot in a sugya. A sugya that the Rashba changes the girsa in the sugya. And he fell asleep and he went into Yeshiva Shalmala. And over there, there was a kitrug on Klal Yisrael. They were saying, nobody learns La Mito Shel Torah anymore. No one learns the correct way. And there was a big taina on Klal Yisrael. And all of a sudden, the Rashba got up and said, in Dvinsk, Meir Simcha outdid me this time. And Meir Simcha was Mavara, the Shitas HaRashba, that he changed the Girsa. And it's Yadua, you can find the shtickle in the Or Sameach. It's a shtickle that I learned in Kachim. It's a Geshmaka shtickle that the Rashba didn't have. And you see, the Rashba was Echbaslo. He cared. And we'll come even closer to time. Many of you maybe have heard of Rav Gusman Zatzal. Many, could be some of your parents, your fathers were Talmidim of Rav Gusman not too long ago. And Rav Gusman told a father of a chaver of mine in Shir the following thing. They were working on a Rashba in the Sugya. And Rav Gusman fell asleep. And there were three pshatim in this Rashba. There was a pshat of three Kohanim Gedolim. That's what he said. The Ksais, Rav Shimon Shkop, and the Or Sameach. All three had pshatim. And then Rav Gusman and Shir said his pshat. But he fell asleep, and he went to the Bezin in Shamala, and they went into the base medrash of the Rashba in Shemayim. And over there, the Ksos got up and said his pshat. And the Bezin said, no, that's not the pshat. Then Rav Shimon Shkab got up, and he said his pshat. No. The Or Sameach got up, and the Bezin was very impressed. They said, this is pshat. And Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk said, no, this is not the pshat. There's a Yid who's down there still right now. He said a better pshat in the Rashba. Rabbi said, this is from our generation. But the point over here is that the shaychus with the Rishonim, we have a shaychus with them. This Torah that we're learning is a dynamic Torah. It's still being worked out. Every nuance, every nakuda, every chalek of this. The Rishonim, sometimes we don't understand what they're doing. They fight in ways that they say things. We say, I would never do that. It's uncivilized. It's totally uncivilized. Right? The Hasagas Aravid says in Karban Pesach that if I had the Rambam's Karban Pesach that he says is good with a Gid Anasha, he says, I'd take it right in front of his face and I'd throw it on the floor. Is that the way you talk? Is that nice? And that's child's play compared to the way the Ramban calls the Rambam Hevel Havalim, total Narishkeit. If anybody did that to me, if Rav Straga did that to me, it would be hard for us to look at each other in the hall. I love him and everything. What's going on over here? And if you want to get really exciting, there's a sefer that people don't know about, but if you're learning Chulin, you must know about it, called the Taras Habayis. The Rashba wrote a sefer called the Taras Habayis. Now the Ra'ah decides he's just going to make a few comments on the side about what he disagrees with. This did not go over well. The Rashba was not pleased. And he wrote another sefer. This is the only time you could see a full-blown battle of a boom, boom, boom. You know, punching back and forth, because the Rashba wrote one sefer, the Ra'ah wrote another sefer, and then the Rashba republished the sefer to write the responses on the Ra'ah. If I did a test right now and I opened up the Rashba's Perish on the Ra'ah, every single page I'll find you insults that you would never possibly imagine. What's going on over here? So Rav Yerucham explains. He explains that these people were a living, breathing Torah. Of course they would make chasanas with each other. Of course they loved each other. But the pshat was, they were representing their shita to the death. The Rashba wrote Torah Habayis. He wrote this as the Masorah of what pshat is according to him. The Ra'ah is coming and he's sending missiles across. Boom! Take no prisoners. You want to marry my daughter? Fine, that's kids play. We'll play with the Anticluck together, no problem. We'll kiss each other. But this is real. This is what we're coming to do. The Vilna Gaon in Shulchan Aruch, when he talks about the Rambam's idea of Shadim, because the Rambam didn't have the Chachma of the Kabbalah. He says, everyone hit him on his skull, and he still didn't get it, and he was influenced by philosophers. So you think, whoa. When it came to someone opening a Mor Nevuchim Shir in the cloys of the Gra, the Talmidim were up in arms. They came to the Rebbe. It says in the Toldos HaGra, they said, Rebbe, someone's saying a Shir in Mor Nevuchim of the Rambam. In your base Medrash, the Gaon says, Halavaya should be Zocha to be in the Mechitz of the Rambam for a moment. How do the two coexist? The answer is, we have no shaychus with the way they even relate to the world. They were people who their total metzias was Torah. Their whole essence was Torah. And they would never get insulted. The reason we get insulted is because we're so hepech Torah. We're so our egos. They had no ego. They spoke to each other the way, you're saying this crumb up shot over here. It's alive, it's real, it's the metzias of Torah ba'atzmusa. And when a person realizes this, it's different. It's a different Torah. When he realizes who the Ramban was, the Ramban, we can't go through, it's late. We can't go through, what can I do? Okay, we'll say one more thing. I can't help myself. You can shoot me afterwards. I'm wearing a bulletproof vest. But Lamaisa, you have to know, the Ramban, in the Me'am Loes, it brings that a Talmud of the Ramban, he was sick. He was deathly ill. And the Ramban gave him a kamiya, some sort of letter. He says, take this letter. I want you, when you leave after 120, I want you to go. With this, you can go through every place in Shemaim. They're going to open it up for you. He goes, but I have a few questions and things that I don't understand, and I need to get answers to these questions. Can you imagine? The Ramban Shverkites, no mortal man, he had to go up to the Kisei HaKavod, tell somebody who's going up there, and he says, I want you to come back and give me answers. Well, what happened over there? Very interesting what happened in the end. The Ramban's Talmud was Nifter. And he came back to Ramban and says, Rebbe, it's like you said, they opened up every gate for me. I just went with this, I showed them the card, and that's like the VIP. I got all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. He says, there's only one problem. The questions that you asked in Shemayim, on that level, everything's clear. You can't ask questions over there. It's just, you know everything over there. There's no such thing as a question over there. So I wasn't able to ask Rebbe's questions because it was such a clarkite. The Ramban was able to write, this is the Ramban we're reading about. The Ramban writes in his Hakdama to Chumash, don't think about everything that I write in Kabbalah here. Unless you have a Kabbalah Ishmi Piish, you're not allowed to think about what I wrote. You're not even allowed to think about it because you have no clue. It's usher for you to think about. You ever hear a sefer that writes, it's usher to think about what I'm saying? Because he goes, you guys know shaychas. If you're from the club, think about this. If not, skip it. Skip it. So you think, the Bali Toysers who are on our daf, they must be very smaller than the Ramban. There's only one problem. In the Hakdama to the Yamshul Shlomo, he brings the Tshuvas HaRosh, that the Rosh says whenever the Ramban and the Bali Toysers, Ri and Rabbeinu Tam fight, you know who wins? Ri and Rabbeinu Tam, because they're bigger. We should all be Zocha to learn Rishayim.